That's right. We are here for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we are live today presented by Impact Media. How are you guys doing? Of course, we had a technical glitch. We apologize for, but without further ado, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great week. We actually have a special guest. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. Of course, he is the leader of the Southern Gothic and a good friend of the show's and mine as well, and supposed to be working on a new album. Hope I'm not ratting him out. But I want to bring on my good buddy Connor right now. How you doing, Connor?
Hey, man. It's good to hear from you.
It is definitely good to hear from you. So are you still working on the new record, or is it almost time for a media tour?
No. We're not there yet, man. We've got it all written, and We're just trying to get all the pieces in place to get it recorded. Once we pull the trigger, it'll be fast, man. We'll get in there and knock it out in a couple of weeks.
Well, definitely. And if you need a guest triangle player, I might know a guy.
All right. You're on the list, man.
I don't know. Given my background, maybe I'm up to tambourine, but I don't want to take that from other people.
That's cool.
But it's definitely good talking to you. I know it's been a short while since last time we talked was probably in person at your show a couple months back.
Yeah, man. I think that was the last time we talked. We may have talked one time since then, and I came on making some predictions for the season or something like that. So much to that, huh?
Hey, unlike the two other teams we cover here, at least your team made the playoffs.
Well, there was that. But I was at that playoff game, my friend. That was a scary place to be, I'll tell you what.
Yep, and I knew you were going to that game, and I wish I could have took that other ticket you had because that would have been pretty nice, but I couldn't make it. And I was glad to see you made it, so... Regardless of how it played out, I was going to try to have you on. But since it played out the way it did, that's pretty much where I'm going to start. From a fan perspective, definitely you being a Bengals fan, what was the overall experience of the game? And then we'll get into kind of the last couple minutes or so.
All right. Well, let me say right off the bat, I've been a Bengals fan since I was a kid, but – I've moved all the time. It wasn't like I was an Ohio native, I passed through or whatever, but I just happened to be in fourth grade, right when you start liking sports a lot, right when I did anyway. And so then I picked the Bengals as my team, and despite them being absolutely atrocious for 20-something years, I've stuck with them, not even being from there. So this was my first chance to go to Paul Brown. I've seen them play in other cities where I happen to be, playing or something like that. But it was my first chance to go to Paul Brown. And, after that game, I might have to turn in my Bengals hat, dude. That was the some of the people there were just like, it was so bad. It was so bad.
Wow.
I can't say that. It was just I couldn't, Now, I do think that there was some bad calls. I think that there was a pretty heavy finger put on the scales and the way the referees and, calling penalties for an altercation with a coach that shouldn't have been on the field. They gave that game in the end to him. But the bottom line is if Hill hangs on to the ball, then we're not even talking about this today. But just the way that people booed Ben when he got taken, or cheered when Ben got taken off injured, I thought it was just super classless, and just they were throwing stuff at the guy. And I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I can't – there's, maybe three or four guys in the league that I like less, maybe Tom Brady. But there's not many. I can't imagine treating a person like that. It just seems like 50,000 people attacking one person seemed pretty ugly, especially when they could have been injured. And then, I don't know, man, it was a really ugly experience all the way around. Not what you want first time you go see your favorite team live and in person.
Definitely so. Yep. And back when I was a Buccaneers fan, my first NFL game I saw live, I went down to Tampa to see them take on the Saints, who decided to steamroll them. I believe the running back Ivory had about 4,000 yards that day. But, yeah, compared to the way that game played out for you, that definitely takes the cake. I, for one, just on behalf of the football community, I apologize to you that was, you know, one of your first experiences there. But it just especially throwing the water bottles at Ben as he was exiting on a cart, just – some of the overall play, I've seen some pretty bad fan experiences, but wow, I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, now, you know, I don't know, like, you know, honestly, I don't have cable at my house, so, like, I don't get to watch a lot of, like, commentary on sports. You know, I'll make sure I can get somewhere to see the games I want to see, but I don't, you know, get to watch ESPN or anything like that. So, I don't know what they showed after the game. I don't know what everybody else saw, but there was, you know, like, I was frustrated being a Bengals fan, like, being there, that the Pittsburgh coaches were, like, very clearly, like, the coaches were going out of their way to break the rules. And I don't know if you saw the guy on the sideline, like, yank Buddy by the hair.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just all this stuff, and it was the coaches. It wasn't even the players, you know, and so there's three or four things that in the stadium you saw happen, including that, including the Joey Porter being on the field when he had absolutely no right to be there, and then starting a fight, and, you know, of course, we all know Pac-Man Jones is going to be happy to jump in there and take up that
fight. Oh, absolutely.
You know, no problem, you know, like. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, for lack of a better word, man, it's pretty much a pussy move to, like, you know, send your coaches out to do your dirty work, and then, you know, just win on some bull, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that one. I really thought Cincinnati was gonna win it. They had the game in hand, and Mike Munchak is the coach you're talking about on the sideline that pulled the player. For one, that was just everybody says, oh, that was an instinctual reaction. I was like, that guy's been a head coach before, so he knows about what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. It's not like he was just hired yesterday. And then the Joey Porter incident, you just keep looking at this, and this is already two teams that are known to fight with each other all the time. So I kind of put some of this on the NFL for not kind of having the right things in place to make sure this didn't get this way.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there's more than enough blame to go around, but I mean, you know, like, I just don't think you can act like that as a you know, fan base. You know, there's always going to be people at the game, at any game, that are ugly and out of line. That's what happens. You, like, you know, you can't take your little kids to games anymore because, you know, people like to chant whatever they like to chant. You can't do that. But there's going to be some people there like that. But to have a whole stadium, I don't know what Paul Brown holds, 55, 60,000, I don't know, to have that many people just, like, jump right in and just be horrible to somebody or to people in general. It was pretty scary, man. Like you thought they were going to rush the field if you were standing there.
Yeah, I've definitely been in some similar situations where you're not sure about your own safety, and that definitely makes it not a very good experience. But we're going to talk about some of the highlights of the Bengals, not just that game, but the fact they did have, I mean, they had a killer season, really. You know, obviously Andy Dalton leading the way most of the way, and then you get A.J. to come in, and it's like A.J. McCarron, it's like really like you had a Dalton Jr. there. I know you didn't get to see a lot of the games, but, I mean, when Dalton went down, did you kind of get worried about things?
Oh, of course. No, I saw all the Bengal games, or most
okay.
of them anyway this year. But, yeah, of course you're worried. I feel like A.J. McCarron stepped up, like, you know, reasonably well. But, you know, I think if you have Andy Dalton going the rest of the way through the regular season, I think you're a bye week, first week, and again, we're talking about, you know, on this show today, talking about who they're going to be playing this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. I really thought they were going to be one of the bye weeks up until he went down, but I mean, it should, it's definitely a good thing going forward that you know your backup is at least comparable, and that he's not going to, you know, pick his nose or trip over his shoelaces.
Yeah, and he had a lot of confidence. You know, it said a lot to me that he came out, and I mean, it was 15-0 at the start of the fourth quarter there, you know, in the playoff game, and you know, he you know, reeled off 16 straight points, 3 straight scores. So, you know, he's a poised young kid, and I think that, you know, he's probably going to be pretty in demand.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I don't know how long we have him under contract, but not long enough, I'm sure.
I think this is his second year, so rookie deal. He didn't go in the first round. I think it's 4 years on a non-first-rounder, so I think he got him for at least another 2 years.
Got a couple years, so that's nice. That's good. And, of course, Hugh Jackson leaving is a big blow, especially somewhere that's in the division and you feel like you don't think he's going to be able to hurt you this coming season, but give him 2 years and he might actually put something in place in Cleveland that could do a little damage.
Well, and I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, we all know what kind of mess that Cleveland is anyway, just wherever you want to start as far as where Cleveland's biggest mess is. But for Hugh, I mean, he was 8-8 in Oakland before they cut him loose for who knows what reason. He comes to be the offensive coordinator for you guys for a couple years. I don't know if he just wanted to be a head coach again, or if maybe the Bengals are a little bit bigger mess than we think they are, and he decided he just wanted to start new somewhere. I'd be a little worried about it, I think.
Yeah, maybe, but I guess my thing was is he probably had other options. He probably could have gotten the Giants job, or it was a reasonable expectation that he might, you know, that he could have held out for, you know, a better job. So, to me, you know, I think anybody is going to, you know, if they're in demand and there's more than one team looking, of course, you got to take the money and run, man. You got to do it. You can't sit around waiting and hoping that you're part of a championship team. I think you got to go and build your own thing. But you know, that being said, I thought it's not a choice he chose Cleveland, but I don't know if I think that speaks to anything about the Bengals team.
Right. Yeah, I really don't think that it was either. I heard a media guy bring it up and the other guy on his show you could almost hear him staring at him like, I'm not sure they're that big of a mess, but I mean, it's worth bringing up. I know he was looking at the 49ers as well, and I'm kind of glad he chose Cleveland because I think he's actually going to help them out a lot. But no, you guys are going to be okay, I think. There's a lot of good coordinators and a lot of good offensive-minded people out there. They'll pick up somebody. I think Hugh took Cleveland because he didn't want to wait until, you know, Friday or next Monday to not have a job, because a lot of these were all signed today, all these new head coaches.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I think, you know, to a point, he could maybe expect that had he not taken the Cleveland gig, one of those gigs might have been his. One of
right.
those, you know, maybe a better gig. Like, San Francisco seems like a lot better gig to me than Cleveland. You know, New York, too, just for, like, a place to live.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you've toured. I'm sure you've toured in Cleveland before. And unfortunately, it's kind of like the city of Green Bay. There's just not much going on besides the sports teams.
Yeah, there's not much, man. You know, also in my travels, you know, I've been a big Cavs fan. You know, I went up to Cleveland in 07 for that series against San Antonio. I went up for a game, you know, for the finals. And it's like, oh, what, you know, what's there to do after the game? And they're like, there's a lot of sports bars. So, you know, like there's not a lot of variety in Cleveland, I think.
They're an emerging city.
Maybe so. I hope so.
Maybe they're just waiting on the right particular band to come up there and have a big showcase or something.
Yeah, that's probably it. It's probably it, usually.
Exactly. But last time I checked, Flock of Seagulls wasn't touring, so we'll have to find them a new band, right?
Yeah, right. Something like that.
But, of course, I am talking to Connor from Southern Gothic, and it's always good to have you on. And I did want to talk about the new record a bunch. I know you've been dropping a couple small little morsels here and there on the Facebook feed and some of the new singles and stuff like that. Have you been able to nail down any tour dates yet or have a general idea, you know, the direction you might want to go?
As far as tour dates, man, there'll probably be some tour dates in April. I've just been up here in Nashville, just plugging away, man, writing new songs every week, and you know, I put some of them up so people can check them out. And really, when it comes down to it, I'm gonna have to figure out how to make a 12 song record out of about, you know, 50 tunes. So there's a lot to choose from, a lot to whittle down. And I think once we land with the right producer, that's really his or her style will definitely kind of inform the choice of which songs to do and that kind of thing. So yeah, you know, we're still feeling it out, and luckily we got a lot to work with, and I expect it to be a really, really fun record, man. I got a lot of songs I'm really proud of right now.
Yeah, that's awesome, definitely. And even though I told you the other day, I'll say it on here that, especially lately through Impact Media, I took a lot of long car trips, and for the most part, the soundtrack of my car trips has been, everything from Southern Gothic to Princess to old Connor stuff. It's especially the new record. You just put it in, and by the time you're singing along down the road, you realize you're about three or four times through the record. It's just, it's great all the way through, and it's great riding music.
Well, thanks, man. I'm glad you dig it, and, I'm happy to say that I never did anything that I wasn't proud to put my name on, at least anything that you've got a copy of. So,
hey, now you don't know. I may have some underground stuff.
Yeah, let's hope not, man. Let's hope not. It got real sketchy before the records that you mentioned. So, but yeah, man, no, I really appreciate it. I'm really glad you dig it. And, I hope you and everybody else will dig the new thing when it comes out, man. I think you will.
And I got to ask, because when I told some people you were going to be on, they asked me, still got the same band lineup, correct?
Yeah, man. We're everybody's doing other stuff right now, so we will, we'll all get back together in April and get back out there. But I think, everybody's got their own thing. And, we'll probably all split time between doing Southern Gothic and doing other stuff too.
That's always good to have a break away from your normal gig a lot of times. That way your batteries stay refreshed, and when you do get back together, there's all this creative energy that just, forms at one time.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, just some people wanted me to ask because it was right about the time that you got the new violin player or the new fiddle player, because down here in the South, that's a fiddle. But
yes,
people
sir.
Were like, wait, is that the same one from the record? Because they had seen one of the YouTube videos, and I was like, no, they have a new one. Nothing's,
yep.
I was like, everybody in the band's
yep.
awesome. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's the music business.
Yeah, you know it, man. But yeah, man, and no matter who we're playing with, we always try to make sure that, if we're playing, if it's Southern Gothic, it's going to be quality players and people you're going to enjoy hearing, and that kind of thing.
Now, has Jeff come up with any new instruments yet? Because I know if you leave him alone in a music store or a hardware store, he might come up with something different.
Yeah, well, actually, I haven't seen Jeff in a while because he's down in Atlanta. I'm up in Nashville, but he's moving up here next week, and I'm gonna help him unload when he gets up here. So I will let you know what he's got stashed. I'm sure he's found something. I just don't know about it yet.
Definitely so. Something we're all going to have to Google and figure out what it is, and then you'll have to figure out which song it fits on the record.
Exactly. I'll weasel it in there somewhere, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. And April, you're saying you think you'll be back this direction as far as touring?
Yeah, man, that's the hope. April, that direction for sure. I don't
okay.
know for sure Atlanta, but I definitely will be down in Macon in April, and hopefully we'll be in Atlanta in April or May.
Okay. Well, I know you'll keep us posted, and I'll do my best to keep everybody else posted. And so if you end up turning in your Bengals card, which of your other teams are you going to gravitate towards?
I feel like since I'm here, it's probably gonna probably go with Titans. I mean, I've always been a Seahawks fan, too. So that's who I'll be rooting for throughout the rest of this playoffs.
That's definitely. I'll let it go with you liking them. If it was anybody else that said they were a Seattle fan, I might take issue with it. But I'll let it go since it's you.
I mean, you know, like I've always been a bit, you know, a fan of Seattle teams. I don't really know why. I spent some, you know, a little time there when I was a kid, but I always liked them. I was always a big Sonics fan. So like the Seahawks sort of came as part of the package deal.
Oh yeah, I definitely respect what they're doing, and Pete Carroll and Marshawn Lynch and all those guys. I mean, I really enjoy watching them. It's hard for me to pull for them, but I mean that's just sports biasness, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't mind them, man. I think they're cool, but yeah, you know, if I do turn in my Bengals card, I'll probably go Titans because I live, you know, a mile and a quarter from the stadium, so my street on game day is madness, man.
I might have to come up there and check out a game next season. I'll have to coordinate that with some of the schedules here at Impact Media, but maybe we can figure the specifics out.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. I'd love to. I'd love to get up. I still haven't been to the stadium yet, so I'd love to get over there.
That, and I sent an email to them, and I also put in a phone call to hopefully the people that need to be contacted about you maybe singing the national anthem. I know you haven't done a football game yet, so I reached out to the few people I think I know up there. So.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm willing to travel. You come up with something in another city that's, you know, not too far, Indy, Chicago, you know, Atlanta, whatever. I'm open to that.
That could be good. I have some in-laws up in Chicago, so that could be a fun reason to go up there and see them.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a free seat at a Bears game.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I will reach out to those people as well, because I'll look on the list of contacts here, and we'll try to get you in one of these stadiums, because, you've done all the rest of them, right?
Yeah, I've done baseball and basketball, but I haven't done any college anything, but baseball, you know, NBA and Major League Baseball.
What about hockey? You got one right down the street from you there.
Oh, no, I did a Thrashers game.
Oh, that's right.
When they were in Atlanta, I did the Thrashers Flyers St. Patty's Day one year.
Wow! So which one? Compare the three there. Which one was more fun? And are they really that different, or is it still you're just singing in front of a big crowd?
No, I mean, like, the baseball is just so much bigger,
Yeah, definitely down here in the South, probably.
Well, I just mean the stadiums. Like, you know, a basketball stadium holds 18,000, you know, baseball stadium holds, what, you know, 50.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, it's huge, and you have to, like, get used to your voice, like, slapping back, you know, and it's real weird. It's a big challenge, but it was super fun.
I bet it definitely will. And like I said, I'll continue to reach out. Eventually, they'll either, you know, give you a call about singing the national anthem, or I'll get another restraining order. But either way, it should help one of us.
I love it, man. I love it. And, you know, who's to say that the restraining order can't be a tool used for publicity just to make the show even more popular?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, my attorney just said the other day he hadn't been doing much lately, so it'll give him something to do.
All right, I'm in. If I can help, that sounds like my kind of job. So you let me know, man.
Oh, that would be a good story for either one of our books that we write down the road is, you know, either I can say this is how Connor helped me get a restraining order, or you could say this is how I got Impact Media's Jeremy on the restraining order list or something.
Nice.
It's got rock and roll written all over it.
We'll roll the dice and see who wins, man. I'm into it.
Exactly. But I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you're working hard on doing a lot of stuff for the album and enjoying time with family. I know you don't get to spend a lot of time with them. traveling around. So I'll let you back to your evening. Definitely
appreciate
you coming on.
Yeah, man, anytime. You know, just all you got to do is reach out. I'll be there if I can.
Definitely so. And like I said, I'll keep everybody abreast of when you'll be in the general area. And, of course, if I ever end up your way, you will definitely be getting a call.
All right, brother. See you then.
All right. Well, we will see you later. Have a good rest of your night. Tell all the rest of them we said hello.
Okay, I'll do it, man. Good night.
Night, man. Of course, that was Connor from the Southern Gothic, just a super guy. If you haven't seen the Southern Gothic perform, Connor's by far one of my favorite performers. This is way before I become friends with him. I've seen him play at everything from hole-in-the-wall bars all the way up to big arenas. So if you get a chance, definitely go check out, I believe it's southerngothic.com, or you can just hit him up at Connor Christian on Twitter. He'll give you all the lowdown on that. And I'm going to try to run through some of this stuff real quick, get you out of here just as soon as we can. You know, appreciate you guys sticking with us through the technical glitch. But real quickly, you know, Pittsburgh was able to win that game 18-16 over Cincinnati. We talked a bunch about it right there. Just the overall thing was, to me, the Pittsburgh coaching incidents. You know, Vontaze Burfict and Adam Pac-Man Jones. I call him Pac-Man regardless. Adam, if you don't want me to call you that, then just let me know. I know he was trying to get people to not call him that, and I'm not doing it just because he did something like he used to do. I've always called him Pac-Man Jones. But, you know, Pittsburgh moves on that one. We'll talk about theirs coming up. Kansas City, 30-0 over Houston. Brian Hoyer, after the game, said that one performance shouldn't summarize somebody's career. I think it pretty much does, and what it's saying, Brian, is that yours may have come to an end. I don't see how you recover from that. This is some of the most awful quarterback play I've ever seen. But Kansas City was rolling. They didn't need your help, and you helped them anyway. But Kansas City was able to roll on that one. They could actually be the favorite in the game coming up, and I'm going to tell you here in a minute. Seattle 10-9 over Minnesota in a game that averaged -4 was what the overall temperature was pretty much the entire game. It's to the effect of you can only stand out there for up to 24, 25 minutes before frostbite could potentially start in. So as soon as they come off, they were obviously in the jackets and next to the heaters. And but 10-9, typical Seattle game. Defense is making a lot of stands. Minnesota's defense was showing all kinds of stuff. You can see that Minnesota's close to turning the corner. Bridgewater was serviceable. You're not going to expect much outside of a young quarterback like that. AP couldn't get out of the blocks. Stephon Diggs, some of the other guys. You can see they're only a couple pieces on offense away from doing some good stuff. They do have a couple offensive linemen who are out for the year. So, you know, I think Minnesota was very respectable in this. And the Blair Walsh field goal at the end, unfortunately, as big a Blair Walsh fan as I am, I walked into the room. I was actually I was watching it outside on our deck here, walked in. My parents and some other people were here at the studios watching it, and I said, hey, he's still got to hit the kick. They said, you always say that. Then, of course, he misses it. It happens. I don't think it's Blair Walsh's fault at all. He scored the other 9 points. Last time I checked, nobody else on the team scored any points, so get off his back. And in case Minnesota's going to do something kind of suspect or dumb, like release Blair Walsh, there's probably at least 25 other teams that'll give him a call within 30 minutes. Literally, this guy's one of the top in the league. So, Minnesota fans, you want to be all mad and upset about Blair Walsh missing the kick? I'd be mad and upset that Bridgewater couldn't score any points. That Adrian Peterson probably had his worst game since, I don't know, middle school? Maybe Pee Wee. I don't know. And, of course, the other game. Green Bay started rolling about halfway through this. They won 35-18 up at Washington. But, you know, Green Bay's offense come alive. The defense started to make some pretty good plays. Washington played solid. They showed everybody that if you're going to come through their division, you're going to have to come through them. And it's going to be a fun division. You know, they just they had two new coaches and, of course, recovering Dallas. So, you know, Kirk Cousins, I think he's going to get paid pretty well to stay there with them. And he's turned himself into a pretty good little quarterback. So, to answer your question, do you like that? Yep, we like your play, man. But, of course, like I said, Green Bay moving on. News and notes real quick, and then I'll get into the games and, of course, our picks. I got Coach's picks and Reggie's picks here because neither of them could join us today. Coach is actually part of a panel presentation at a very special event. So good luck to you, Coach, and congratulations on being a part of the presenting group. And, of course, Reggie's out of town doing some stuff for us and also some other things he does some freelance with. So be careful out there. Have a safe trip back for both you guys, and we'll probably see you next week. But let's see. Things you need to know. Rex Ryan hired his brother Rob. Yep, Santa Claus has a job. He's now the assistant head coach in Buffalo. I think this has now made Buffalo one of the most entertaining, at least press conference teams, if not sideline teams, in the league. Having both them on the same team is just going to be fun. Cincinnati linebacker Vontaze Burfict was suspended 3 games for his hit on Antonio Brown. Supposedly, it was repeated conduct violations is what got him there. I believe he has 14 personal fouls in the last 3 years or 2 years. It's getting ridiculous. RG3, as he cleaned out his locker in Washington. You know, obviously, he's probably not going to be with the team. RG3 left a parting message on the locker room. Pretty much, through him, all things are possible. Or it was a Bible verse, a very popular one. But, you know, more power to RG3 on that one. Taking the high road. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in Dallas or he ends up maybe in San Francisco with Chip Kelly. We'll get to that in a minute. He could actually be in Atlanta. I don't know. Your Hall of Fame finalists, 5 of these people, I believe, 5 are going to make it out of these. Morton Anderson, great kicker. Terrell Owens, arguably one of my favorite receivers, one of the best ever. Brett Favre, one of my favorites. Tony Dungy, one of the best coaches. Terrell Davis, Steve Atwater, Don Coryell, Alan Faneca, Kevin Green, Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James, Joe Jacoby, John Lynch, Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner, and of course you got Ken Stabler, Dick Stanfill, and Edward DiPartolo Jr. If I had to pick 5 out of those, I don't know if I could. But I just want to say the fact that Tony Boselli was left off this year was kind of I know it was pretty stacked with some other people, but Tony Boselli is probably one of the best offensive linemen of my lifetime. I'm just saying. I'm not being biased or anything because he was a Jaguar, but, I mean, Tony Boselli, look him up. He has better numbers than most. He didn't give up many sacks. He was always the cornerstone of any line he was on. I mean, go look at his work. So, I don't know. I felt like he should have been on there, but you can't have everybody, so. You know, more power to whoever they put in there. All these guys are definitely deserving. And I guess we'll just have to wait and find out exactly who's going to go in. But let's see. Coaching carousel. Try to catch you up because there's only one job open now as of a few minutes ago, right before we came on here. Of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fooled absolutely no one when they named Dirk Koetter, their offensive coordinator, as their now head coach. They're going to finalize the deal soon. More power to Dirk Koetter on this. Still makes no sense about Lovie Smith, but you never know. He could go to the one opening, which we'll get to in a minute. The Eagles have hired Doug Peterson after Tom Coughlin withdrew his name from contention. Doug Peterson is the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, so as soon as the Chiefs are out, they will finalize that deal. Like I said, Chip Kelly is now with the San Francisco 49ers. I think this was the best fit for him. He can either revitalize Kaepernick or Blaine Gabbert, or he can get RG3. I do think they have, with given the personnel and the way he likes to play and scheme, this is by far probably the one of the better pairings of new coach to team. Look for San Francisco to be better than they were last year, but they actually have a coach. So it is what it is. Ben McAdoo is your new New York Giants coach. Fooled absolutely nobody. McAdoo, just a couple years ago, was a quarterback coach with the Packers, become offensive coordinator with the Giants, and then now takes over now for them. He's very good with quarterbacks. He's been doing well with Eli Manning there, and well-deserved for Ben McAdoo. And good luck to him. But like I said, that makes two new coaches in that division that I think Washington is still the best team. We talked about Hugh Jackson, who's now with the Cleveland Browns. I feel like this is actually going to be pretty good. To see what he did with the Raiders team a couple years ago that was slightly more talented than this one, than this Browns team. And from what I was told, he was told Johnny Manziel does not have to be a part of the future. It's his call on that. They're not tied to him. So, you know, that might have been why he signed, so he can do what he wants to do. Be interesting to see what he does. And, of course, Adam Gase of the Miami Dolphins. Adam Gase, who should have probably been the 49ers coach last year before they dropped the ball on that one and pretty much screwed him out of a head coaching gig, had to take the offensive coordinator position under Fox with the Chicago Bears last year. He did well, and it ended up helping the Bears a lot. And Jay Cutler went to bat for him, and Jay Cutler doesn't go to bat for anybody. But he said by far he is an exceptional coach, and more power to him. The only open job. Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, yep. The one Connor lives down the road from. Not going to say which road or which direction. But, yeah, it's Mike Mularkey who you know, took over for the last part of the season. I think would be a good one, even though the fan base, you know, would like to see a splash of some kind. They did hire John Robinson, formerly of the Buccaneers. He was the director of player personnel. He is the new general manager. And I don't know, if it's not Mularkey, I would say, I mean, there's a chance it could be Tom Coughlin. It could be a lot of people, really. We'll have to check out and see who it's going to be, though, because I haven't heard much from there. So I guess it is what it is. But that's all the stuff for End Zone. I only got a couple things for Falcon Zone, but... without further ado, let's go to the Falcon Zone. Like I said, thanks for joining us here on Blog Talk Radio for Falcon Zone. A couple little news and notes I wanted to tell you guys. Basically, I'm going to give advice to the front office here in a minute on what I think they should do this offseason. But just want to throw this news and note. I hear that they have a particular college quarterback on their radar who used to be a ball boy for the team back years ago, I believe at the practice facility, and that would be Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, we're still a year removed before he could technically be eligible, but this could be a Jason Hayward situation where they kind of, you know, keep an eye on him, find a way to get him and end up with him. Just saying, just throwing that out there that he would be a definite movement in the right direction next year as far as somebody that could season and back up Matt until Matt's term is gone. Or he could be that
could be that driving force there. Of course, like I said, I think RG3 is going to be the one to ultimately possibly come in. Could be RG3. Could be Kaepernick still. Who knows? It depends on what the new head coach wants to do. But pretty much, what I would say is, if I'm the Falcons front office, you got to play this game called "Should they stay or should they go now?" And I know most people try to do this, and well, this guy's a good guy. No, this is how you got to think about it. What direction do you want to take this team? Does that person fit that mold? Can they fit that mold? Can you do something with them? Do they have value that would bring other pieces in? I mean, you got to look at people. And you know, like Jacquel Bartu. Does he fit the Dan Quinn scheme and type of defense that he wants to run? Does Coy Beerman fit? I think depending on Croy's cap hit, I think he needs to be brought back. And I'm not just being biased. I would say, honestly, if you can get something for the running back Coleman and let Ward be the backup, I think he's the piece that you could move to possibly bring in somebody. You know, I threw out there, if you're going to move on from Matt Ryan, make sure you get something great in return. If you're going to trade him to San Francisco for Kaepernick, like Reggie and Coach suggested, I said you should add Navarro Bowman to that mix, and I do believe both sides would definitely part with that. But, you know, you just got to go. You got to look at offensive linemen. I think a lot of them still have something they can give you, but if it's not going to be what you're looking for, then obviously you have to move on from there. But no real news out of Flowery Branch, no real news out of the Georgia Dome or Arthur Blank Foundation, any of that. They're kind of being quiet right now. The general rule in the NFL is while the playoffs are going on, typically don't announce a whole lot. You typically don't do a lot of dealings so much. The owners are, you know, busy voting right now anyway on this whole L.A. situation, which I forgot to update that, so I'll update you now. Looks like more than likely Oakland is staying in Oakland and possibly getting some money from the NFL or elsewhere to either build a new facility or fix the one they're in. I think they'll end up with a new one. The Rams are going to pretty much leave L.A., or they're going to leave for L.A. They're going to leave St. Louis. You know, they were in L.A. before. Looks like Stan Kroenke's going to get his deal. I think it's the Inglewood one. And as of right now, San Diego is still the home of the Chargers, even though they've got about 1 foot out the door as well. Looks like they could be the second team to join the Rams down in L.A. But, you know, I can sympathize with you guys in St. Louis losing your team, because here in Atlanta, you know, we lost the Thrashers. It still bugs a lot of us and angers a handful more. That we lost that team because of just bad management. So I can understand, you know, you lose one of your teams you like. So, you know, definitely just keep your head up. You still got the Cardinals. You still got the Blues, two very respectable franchises. And if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Kroenke own them? Or he owns the Avalanche or something. Can't remember. Kroenke owns something. But, you know, I'll keep you guys abreast of any situation we hear as far as that, and of course anything Falcons related. But last I checked, everybody cleaned out their lockers. There was no incidents. They had the team meetings, the exit physicals, and everybody's just waiting to see what happens. I think right after the Super Bowl is when we're going to see a few balls drop, and we'll see who's a part of this team after that. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in to the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are presented by Impact Media. You can follow me at the Impact 99 for all news, notes, and updates, and at Team Impact Media as well. I'm Jeremy Impact York. Shout out to Ross Tucker for making me the social media winner last week. I definitely appreciate it, Ross. Like I said, as a fellow podcaster, I enjoy your take. Love to have you on sometime. But I'm out for now. See you guys next week.